I enjoy seeing people enjoy the blessing of the Lord. I've always enjoyed the fellowship of Brother and Sister Rutledge for a number of years, and that dates back for a number of years. I told him today I was so thankful to see the hand of God upon him. Truly, he is a pastor. God has blessed his ministry. I just noticed how he's gone to each of you and recognized from the children up to the oldest. And that's the trait of a good pastor. He isn't interested just in a little group that would be a blessing, but everybody can be a blessing. And I thank God for pastors like that and for pastors' wives. And I appreciate the privilege of being in the home and the wonderful warmth and fellowship and all of that that we've had through the years. It's been a long time since we've been here with you at Pine Bluff. But really, I was anxious to come. And we were really enjoying it. It's a blessing. And we just pray that God will bless you. And I appreciate my wife coming along. She's heard me tell so many times about the Pine Bluff experience. I used to catch the cotton belt down from Jonesboro. And she'd stay at home, as Brother Rutledge said, with the children. I'd come home and we'd talk about the work. And then I'd talk about the district work. I'd talk about the Rutledges, how they opened their home and made me feel welcome. In fact, we'd go in and kick off her shoes and just felt at home. It means a whole lot when you get with people like that. You know, I hate to get around people that you're afraid to move. You don't know whether you're drawing the right breath or not. Amen. But I like to feel liberty and freedom and the worship of the Lord. And I appreciate my wife who has stood by, especially through all these years. And, of course, we've raised the four children, three sons and a daughter. And they're all gone from home. We're there by ourselves, so we decided it'd be well to hit the trail again. And the Lord has been good to us. So far it's been good. I don't know how long we'll last at it. But you just keep praying for us. I appreciate my wife. She's been a great help to me. Especially in the time of last few years, a few months, since my illness and those things that have happened to me. I didn't realize it would ever happen. I thought I was a strong fellow, good health, no problems. I prayed for hundreds of other people and seen many of them healed, seen many of them that we've had to bury. I'd seen all of that. Little did I realize that one day I would be in the same condition. But God has helped me and blessed me with a good wife. Somebody wondered why I married a wife younger than I. Of course, I didn't know either why other than the fact that I loved her. But the Lord knew all about it because I was going to need somebody to help carry the load. And with the job she has, I'm sure she feels sometimes she's as old or older than I am. But I appreciate her. She's been a great blessing, and I've asked her to come and sing, give a testimony, a blessing. She's been a great blessing to my ministry. I appreciate her being here tonight. God bless my wife as she comes.
Amen. She's the daughter of Elder Crane, Brother and Sister Crane, who's been here and ministered to you. Praise God. Amen.
I was asking Brother Reed if he would sing with me. We do have one song that we can sing together, and he declined. But maybe after I sing, maybe he'll change his mind and sing with me. But anyway, we count it a real privilege to be here. It is my first time to be in your church, although I've known the Rutledges for years, but most of the time it's just seeing them at the campground or few times when I had the privilege of joining them in their home and visiting with them. But it's a real privilege to be here. We've just met so many, many people that remember those camp meeting days, and those were some of the greatest years. They really were. We were talking to somebody that remembered the camp meeting this morning, that remembered the camp meeting being up on top of Mount Crest.
Yeah.
And Brother Reed and I were talking about that as we drove along the highway before the car broke down yesterday. And we were talking about what wonderful times that we had up on top of Mount Crest. But there's a lot of memories associated with Redfield, also in the camp meeting there. Of course, I want to tell you, I was a campground widow while that thing was being built. I mean, really, because Brother Reed had to spend a lot of time down here to help get that thing going. And so I really kind of forgot about it. But y'all brought up back a lot of memories.
Right.
And the Lord helped me through those days.
Amen.
And I appreciate His goodness and His mercy and the way He's helping us now. Because this is all new to us now, this traveling and going from church to church, because it's been many, many years that we've been settled in one place, just pastoring one church. And when Brother Reed get an invitation to go preach, he'd say, well, someday maybe, but then, you know, he was tied down. He felt like his duty was at his home church when Sunday came. So it's been many, many years since we've had the opportunity of really visiting or being in other churches. But I'm really glad tonight that I'm part of the family of God, because when we go to these churches, we feel like we're part of the family of God, your family. We don't feel like strangers. Oh, we just feel the presence of the Lord so sweet, just like this morning, and we just don't feel a bit like we were strangers. I want to tell you just one little incident. You believe the Lord cares about the little things in your life, don't you?
Sure.
Okay. Easter Sunday, we were visiting the church. Brother Reed was ministering in Millington. It's a fine, growing church. Their pastor died. They had a real tragedy. Their pastor died last October, and they're without a pastor. So they needed someone to come and minister to them. And I was kind of missing my little grandchildren. These little ones singing here tonight just made me think so much of my little grandchildren. And I was missing them and wishing I could see them on Easter. I was trying not to let Brother Reed know, but I was kind of sad, you know, because I was missing my grandchildren and not getting to be with them in church. And one little girl just about the size of my little granddaughter, she did not know me. She had never seen me before, to my knowledge. She'd come and sit down beside me like she'd always known me and cuddle up to me real close. And I could have just cried. I thought, well, Lord, you knew exactly how I was feeling. I was sad. I was missing my grandchildren. And you gave me this little girl to bring a comfort to my heart. And that just made me feel so good just to think that that little child just gave me that little minute of comfort that I needed. And the Lord does bless us when times when we're kind of low or sad, and He cheers us up. And I'm so glad tonight. I'm just going to sing a little song that I found in your book that I really have learned to love, The Family of God. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm a part.
He doesn't call himself singer, but I'm not either. I really am not. I've been busy for years now playing the piano, and the only time I sing, just like Sister Rutledge does, like leading out on courses. That's what I've been doing for the past 15 or 20 years. So really, I've not been singing. I'm way out of practice when it comes to solos. But this is just an old song that I think is so true in our life. God does lead us along. And this is our song. We claim it. We don't even want anybody else to call it their song because we love this old song. Can you see it? Get it, Randy. Oh, it's 1:41, did I? And if you wouldn't mind to put it in lower key because we can't sing
it. What's the name of it?
God leads us along. 1:41. It agrees there.
In shade, green pastures, so rich, so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters flow boldly, weary ones speak, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some
our 40th wedding anniversary, and we had been invited to join some other friends that were going to go with us to celebrate. We were waiting until church was over, And we were sitting there through a Bible study, waiting to go after Bible study and go to a restaurant, and all of us just really enjoy a good time of fellowship after church. And all at once, something happens, and we never did get to celebrate. Brother Reed wound up in the hospital that night in ICU all night long, and the doctors really didn't give me very much hope. They said he had quit breathing, his heart was acting up, and they just told me all kinds of terrible things. And I was just really, I was so distressed, and I began to say, "This, I'm just not ready for this, and the Lord's not ready for him to take him. This, his work is not finished," because I said, "I know it's not his time to go," because he's told me that lately when he's been praying, we had a prayer chain at the church between all around the clock, and no one would take the early hours of the morning, like 2 and 3 a.m., so Brother Reed held his hand, he'd take it, and he started it's been a few years ago when we had that prayer chain going, and he started that time, and it's just become like seemed like an alarm clock goes off in his mind at that time. He just wakes up, and then that's his time to pray. And during this time of prayer, the Lord had dealt with him that in his later years of ministry, that the Lord would bless him even more than in his earlier years, that his ministry would be a greater blessing even in the latter years than the early. And he really, with all of his heart, he felt this. And that night when the doctors were trying to tell me he may not live through the night, I said, "He can't die. God's not through with him. He still has the work for him to do." And I kept holding on to that. And ministers and their wives from all around came and joined me in the ICU waiting room. And we had a prayer meeting. We didn't care who was around, doctors, nurses, or what. I mean, we were calling on the Lord, and the Lord came through and gave me comfort. He spoke through me in another language, and I began to pray in tongues. And when I did this, it comforted my heart, because then I knew the Lord had taken over, and I knew he was in control. Right. And a little bit, the head nurse from ICU come rushing in. She said, "He jerked the tube out of his throat, and he's breathing on his own." I said, "Praise the Lord." I knew then when he started breathing on his own, he wasn't having any aid helping breathe. I knew everything was going to be all right. Lord. So I know now what the night seasons are. I didn't used to know what that meant when I sang that song about night seasons. I didn't know what night seasons were, but I do now. But the Lord has been with us through them all, and I tell you what, he'll be with you too.
That's great. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless the Lord. Amen.
And the Lord great to all of us.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like for all of you just to stand and just give him a real good praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for this service tonight, the privilege of being in this church. Thank you for its pastor and wife and for this people. We pray that somehow you'll help us to be a blessing. Help us and give us strength and wisdom and knowledge. Direct us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. It's always a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. As I said earlier, I have always admired the Rutledges, and they've meant so much to me through the years. I appreciate the friendship, the fellowship, and always have felt welcome to come to their home and share the blessings of God.
Right.
Of course, for a number of years that we served in the capacity that we did, God blessed us and would pastor the church there in Memphis, which we founded some 20-something years ago. But after the stroke and after things happened as they were, I realized that I wasn't physically able to carry on the work that needed to be done, all of it. In fact, for a long time, they thought I never would be able to preach again. In fact, they didn't think I could walk for a while. I remember the day that they were taking me in for therapy, and They were relating how long it was going to be, and if ever. They stood me up at the side of the bed, and I just couldn't move. It just wouldn't work. I'd always been active. I'd always been able to move out. But somehow I couldn't get my muscles to work. And finally, the two of them got on either side of them and drug me a few steps. But they took me then to the therapy, and they told me it was going to be weeks, maybe months before, if ever, I gained proper use of myself. But I thought in my own mind, God, I've been serving you all these years. I've been preaching your gospel, and your word is true, and I'm not going to be defeated. They tried to put me on a walker first. I tried that thing. It just didn't fit. Then they put me on crutches, and that didn't fit. Then I tried a cane, and that didn't fit. I said, God, you're still the healer. I don't care what has happened. What has taken place? You can give me a miracle in my life right here in the hospital. I know the things that have happened, and there's causes maybe you're trying to, that I can give you glory for. But in the midst of it, I said, I'm going to walk by the grace of God. And in just a few days, God gave me my strength, and I was back walking again. I'm thankful tonight. Then they told me I'd never be able to preach again. Just couldn't do it. My memory was gone, totally gone. I didn't know who people were. And I couldn't remember. I still have difficulty sometimes in remembering my scriptures, remembering things that have happened. But God began to restore that to my mind. I began to praise Him for it. It began to come. And just as it continued to come, He gave me an assurance He's going to help me, lift me up, and make me a blessing to somebody, somewhere. I did realize that I couldn't do the job that I was doing as a full pastor of the church. Perhaps you never realize the responsibility your pastor is under. I thought tonight how well everything was going, and how beautiful it is, and how wonderful it is that you have a pastor like that. And you respond gracefully, and that's commendable. But don't forget the load that he's under, the burden that he carries. Maybe you think he doesn't, but you'll never know. Many times after I've been at church, and even in the wee hours of the morning, God would lay a burden on my heart for people. And I'm sure that it's done so with him. A pastor carries burdens that you never know. That's why he needs all the strength. Hold up his hands. Stand by him. Lift him up. Encourage him every way you can. A kind word sometimes means a whole lot. I appreciate, but I realize that I couldn't do the job that I was needing to do. And I told the church in the last of the year that I felt that I should give it up. I wasn't able to function as I should as a pastor with all the labor. I'd had the Blessed Old Bible Hour radio work for 50 years, gone over 50 years, almost 51 years. But I gave that up. The church, the last few years, has been paying for it. Prior to that, it was a faith work altogether, and supported by free will offerings of the listeners. The church accepted the responsibility, and as they accepted the responsibility, then I knew that if I gave it up, that they wouldn't carry it on, so I just gave up the program altogether, although the radio station has asked me if I would consider taking it back. But as yet, I haven't done so. But after 51 years of radio work, and the meeting thousands of people across the country, and it thrilled me today when we were eating. I heard someone tell Brother Rutledge he'd been listening to his program here and introduced him, told him what a blessing and how he was inspired by it. You know, it's a thrill. Maybe you don't realize what it's doing, but it does reach people and it blesses them. Maybe there's programs that you wonder if you're really reaching out. But any work that you do for God is not in vain. You may not see the visible results right now. I've met people since then that have told me they were blessed many, many years ago. And today they're living for God as a result of my radio ministry. Of course, that's a thrill to any minister to realize he's been a help and a blessing to somebody. You're not doing it for personal rewards, but you're doing it for the glory of God, to realize that you have a job to do, that you're trying to reach out and reach others. So I resigned from that. I've been a district presbyter for many years while there in Memphis over the section. And we have a wonderful section. I appreciate our churches. The two of them were in the top in their giving for She's for Christ and in the Sunday school. And God has blessed us, and I realized that I could not do the full presbyter work. I withdrew my name in the last election, and God released me from that. So at the present time, I've got released from all of my jobs except the Lord. And now I want to give Him what time I have left. I can praise Him and love Him and appreciate the blessings of God. I had a clipping in my Bible I was glancing for. I guess I don't need to use it. But I was looking for it there to bring to you the thought, since we've had in our section the first church that has been without a pastor since I resigned, but they have recently elected a new, chosen a pastor, Brother Sharp from Columbus, Ohio. He'll be taking his position the 1st of May. We have the Millington Church that has been without a church, without a pastor since the death of Sister Simpson several months ago. That's one of our largest churches in the section. A beautiful building and a beautiful bunch of people. Really love God. We had the privilege of preaching there a few Sundays ago. But they're without a pastor at this time, and I want you to pray for them. They need help just like everybody else. And then we have the Whitehaven Church that is without a pastor. They're in the process and trying to choose a new pastor. And let's pray that God will direct them. And it does make a difference when changes come. But all of our churches need men and women to lead them, to guide them. And I'm sure as I observed your pastor in action, if you don't appreciate him, you should. Amen. I told my wife, I said, God has his hand on Brother Rutledge. He is an ideal pastor. All of the different activities, the interest he's shown, and he and his wife working together, pulling together, doing the work of God, it means so much. And I'll say again in closing, and maybe I should close, but say it again, and forgive me if I get my words tangled up, but it's a blessing to be here in the work of God, and I appreciate you people. I appreciate the interest. I appreciate the worship. I appreciate people can sing and really put their heart into it and work for God and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. It means so much to be a child of God. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him again right now. Hallelujah. 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 God, I praise You tonight. I love You, Lord. I thank You for the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Of course, I'm in a new venture. I'm trying myself, and you're recipients of my try, because the fact that I wasn't able for so long, but God has helped me. I've braved through. Maybe a lot of people say, why don't you just give up and quit? But I see a greater work to still to be done for God. And there is still work that I can do. There is souls to be reached and people to be blessed. And I think of the words of the apostle Paul that says, "For God hath not given unto us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." And what a blessing it is to realize that God has given us something, that we have something to work with, and that we do not have a spirit of fear. When you face the world today and realize that I have lived long enough, as Brother Hankins said, that speaking of his age and the blessing that God had been to him, there have been many changes taking place in the world. There have been many things happening even in the church world. Many things that are happening every day in the material world, all about us, the political life. Many people have drifted and gone astray. But I'm glad that tonight I found the people who still love God, who still love the truth, who are not afraid to worship, who are glad to tell the world they've been baptized in Jesus' name, who are filled with the Holy Ghost and on their way to glory. And of course, that is only the beginning. Some people think if they receive the Holy Ghost, then baptized in Jesus' name, they've got it made. But this is not the end. The end is not yet. You're just in the beginning. There's a work out there that needs to be done. And that makes me to appreciate it when I see the goals that you have, the vision that you have. And I hope to live to see that materialize, the new church that you're talking about, to see it filled and crowded to capacity with the enthusiasm that I noticed here tonight, with the presence of God's Spirit that I feel here, with a continued cooperation and a yielding to God, not to get struck on yourselves. Never do that.
Right.
You're not the only pebble on the beach.
Right.
Never get that in your mind. But remember, you're a child of God. You're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're part of the body of Christ. And your goal is to be a blessing in telling the world about Jesus. How that God wants to work through His church tonight. And He has not given unto us a spirit of fear. Many people today, for fear of the world, they have compromised. They have given up. They are afraid to stand for the truth of God. Many people that I've known through the years that at one time were real staunch followers of the Word of God and proclaiming the truth of God have now declined and gone back to the place until they do not think it's necessary to be baptized in Jesus' name. They do not think it's necessary to receive the Holy Ghost, speak with tongues. They do not think it's necessary. In fact, some who at one time proclaimed the Word of God, and to my sorrow, I have known of them that today their churches are no more than just a formal church. But I still believe in the old-fashioned Holy Ghost power. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God has His way in our heart, He did not give to us a spirit of fear. For all the years that we have come down through that He has brought us and made us a blessing and to use us. And today I sense in this audience, there are many of you that do not have that spirit of fear among you. But there is a desire to live for God. There's a desire to reach out and to reach others in your nursing home work. In all of the other services that you're doing, it's a desire that you have to be a blessing to mankind. You haven't forgotten those that cannot attend church. Many people that cannot. But you have given yourself completely into the worship of God, and God is using and blessing the effort. He has not given unto us a spirit of fear. You know, nothing is worse than somebody scared. Have you ever really been scared? I remember as a boy that I used to walk down the railroad track to my home when I'd been to church. And there was this railroad track. There was a cemetery over on one side. A lot of things had happened there in the cemetery. In fact, hobos and other type of people had waited there to catch freight trains that came along. Oftentimes, people would come by and If you were walking along the railroad track, they would get out there and hold you up. Or maybe knock you in the head and leave you lying on the track. The train went over you. I walked along the track many times. And there is, the next morning, somebody had been killed by the train. And to see that condition, but as I'd walk along at night, going from church as a boy, all by myself, I remember one time, as I was walking along, you helped me pray, get my mind together here. As we were going along, and that night, I'd been to church, but it was real stormy. And there's nothing worse than a stormy night.
Right.
And it was lightning. It was dark. I was walking along the railroad track all by myself. God hasn't given to us a spirit of fear. But that night, somehow or another, it just seemed that my fear came. Because as I was walking along there, and I was very cautiously looking on each side and for fear that somebody might come up the dump or be in the track and just listening. But I got light along about the edge of the cemetery, a big to a place and where a lot of the holdups had taken place. But along about that time, here came a puff of wind. It just lightened and thundered real bad. And the wind came whoosh, like that, and a clap of thunder. And you know, my feet just wouldn't hold. They got to working. I felt my hair began, my flesh began to crawl, as the saying is. And I ran about a half a mile to home. And how many of you have ever had this experience? Be honest. How many of you have ever been scared in your life? Huh? You know what I'm talking about. But as I ran, I got home. When I got home, I went in, and Dad and Mother asked me how church was. And I said, oh, fine. And they said, you sound like you're out of breath. I said, well, I ran part of the way, and I got in a hurry. I hate to admit what had happened. But the next morning, real early, I got up to go back down there to see just what it looked like. And I walked over the same territory. And there was where the wind had come up that dump. But it was enough to make me scared almost out of my life. And you know, I think about a lot of things in life today that a lot of us really get scared. The devil would like to scare all of us. He'd like to make us think that we can't make it. He'd like to make you think it's all in vain. And along about that same area, as I was walking the road one night, a dirt road, a thing happened, and I heard a noise. And I looked in the dark. It was real dark. But I looked, and as I did, there was something black. And the more I looked at it, the larger it got. And I just was so excited. But I went on home. The next morning, I decided to go back and look at it. See what had caused all that scare. And I did. All it was an old black stump of a tree standing there.
Yeah.
And down below was an old sow with a bunch of pigs. And they were just grunting and making noises. And I looked, and that tree looked like something else. And I thought, how many people in the world today get scared? People, we're in a world that people are really scared. But we've got a God that is greater than all the scares that the devil has to offer. That may seem like a very crude illustration, but it's one from true life. Many people today look at the things of life. They look at the problems of life. And they look at all of the things that are happening in the world. Men's hearts failing them for fear, looking after the things of the world. They wonder what's going to happen. But I'm glad that we have a God who loves his children, who has never left us nor forsaken. He is a God that cares for us and that will provide for his children, even in the darkest of hours. A world that is scared, but he has given unto us a spirit of love, a love which the world cannot have. The world can simulate or imitate, but the world does not know the real love of God. The love of God that reaches and will even cause to Jesus to give himself on Calvary to save us and redeem us from a life of sin. He didn't have to, but he did. He loved us, and that's true love, the love of God in our heart. And if you have that true love in your heart that God gives to his children, love one for another, a love that holds, a love that binds, a love that will give you power to overcome. If you see your brother in a fault, you'll try to encourage him. You'll try to help him. If you see him failing, but falling by the wayside, you'll try to lift him up. Love in your heart will not try to push somebody down, but it tries to lift them up and encourage them to stand and to be faithful to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Surely God wants to give to us. And I think Paul reminded us of that he had given us something. You see, you have received the Holy Ghost. How many of you have the Holy Ghost tonight?
Hallelujah.
Amen. You've received that experience with God. And with that experience in God, that is going to call for something in your life. We are as shining lights in the world. It isn't that you are, we say, peculiar. We are peculiar in many ways because we love God. Our life is different. We don't participate in a lot of things that the world offers today. Your life is clean and a life of holiness. You have dedicated your life to him. But we have not a spirit of fear. But he's given unto us love. And that love in our heart will bind us together. As a church, you're bound together. And with a love in your heart that was mentioned tonight, you can build that building you're talking about. You can see that 300 in attendance that you're talking about. If you have love one to another, and you love God with all of your heart, and at the same time you love the sinner. You see, it doesn't all just amount to your brother. But with God's love, it reaches out to the unsaved man or woman. How true it is that we need to be used of God and blessed of God to reach the lost and to tell them about Jesus. That they can come to the house of God as you have tonight. And when they come here, they see the love of God manifested. They hear the songs that you sing. They see the Spirit of the Lord that is manifested in your life. And the world is hungry for somebody that has that kind of love today. Because most people are only interested in themselves and what they can get out of it. But God help us to realize that he's given to us a spirit of love. A love that reaches out to the man or woman that is in sin. That needs to find salvation in their heart. I think of all that God has given to us tonight. And how wonderful it is that we can serve him in this day. Several have asked for some of the experiences of the past. And of course, they say for some people they live in the past. As I said this morning, I don't only live in the past, but I thank God for the present and for the future. I see greater things ahead in God. I don't have to look back to yesteryears to praise the Lord for what he's done. I do thank God that he brought me through. But I see still today the blessing of God. I got a thrill out of the service this morning and tonight. Did you? Amen. And I'll get a thrill out of it tomorrow. The devil can't rob you if you won't let him. He'll sneak up on you if he can. He'll get you pouting. He'll get you to find fault with somebody and get you looking for something wrong. He'll do it. He's a robber. He's a thief. And thus guard against it. Refuse to let him have a place in our lives. And if you'll do that, you can have a victorious place. For God hath not given to us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Somebody asked me this morning if I'd ever had any rotten eggs thrown at me. It didn't used to be as popular to be Pentecostal as it is today. Today, it doesn't. They don't mean too much to say you're a Pentecostal or apostolic.
Amen.
Amen. You can say it without, you can be proud of it. We've always been proud of it. But it isn't accepted by the world, but today it is. They realize God has given us millions of people that have been filled with the Holy Ghost the last few years. And I thank God for it. And I believe there's going to be many more brought into the family of God before it's too late. But I remember preaching in a place up in Illinois, Mount Carmel, Illinois, a few years ago when I was a young man, and preaching there. As I said, I'd never had any rotten eggs, and I still don't want any. But I know as I was preaching, and the people hated the gospel. But the house was packed that night, small house, and the blessing of the Lord was coming down. I was standing in the pulpit preaching, and windows were open on either side. And just as I was getting about the middle of the sermon, the blessing of God was coming down. Here came some brickbats through the window, and one would have hit me if I hadn't backed up. I just instinctively backed up, and here came the second one and the third one. Well, thank God none of them hit me. They hit the floor over there, but we just kept going. The Spirit of the Lord was there. People were being blessed, and I was thrilled. But it happened to be the deputy sheriff was present in the service that night. And as soon as the first brickbat came through, out he went and around. And he took care of the rest of it. But no rotten eggs, and thank God for it. How that God takes care of his people.